Diego Connolly interviewing my grandmother, Liz, about the Santa Barbara fires. Grandma, how did you first hear about the fire?
Well, the fire started south of us, and it was burning, like Carpinteria and Ventura. And then it proceeded to get behind us. We live on the edge of a fire area. We have been evacuated before twice. Behind us is fields, and then beyond that, very few buildings, and then the mountains. But the brush was very high because we had had a little bit of rain, and it had grown, and then it got so dry that it was just tinder and ready to burn again. So the fire started, I can't remember exactly when it reached us. Within the first week of December, it was going and dropping a tremendous amount of ash and debris all over everything. Our back patio was covered with ash, and our plants were covered with toxic things.
It's disgusting. Was the air quality really bad?
The air quality was so bad that people in Santa Barbara were wearing masks when they went outside.
What kind of masks? Like surgical masks?
Well, better than surgical masks because they filtered more. And what happened is they were distributing free masks to anybody who would pick them up. So when we went out, almost everybody was wearing masks. Other people had been asked to evacuate voluntarily if they were going to go. There was also other places, like south of us, that had mandatory evacuations where people had to get out if they were in danger. So we had not received our voluntary notice yet. Right. Your grandpa and I decided that we would leave early.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, because the air was bad, and because we knew that when it became worse, that more people would be leaving and the traffic would be really all jammed up. So we... Actually, the last before we left, it was a Sunday. We had gone to Costco, bought all our produce, food, things for Christmas. Then we decided to leave. So when we left, we headed to San Francisco, where we have family. We spent the next week in San Francisco, so all the notice that I have of the fire was from the people that we called. A lot of our friends were evacuated, and I called them to discover where they were. Our next-door neighbor stayed till the very end until it became mandatory.
Tracy, right?
Tracy, yes. That time, a friend of ours called us and said that he didn't know we had already left, but he called the morgue and said, I have a truck. I'd be happy to come over and help you to evacuate. We called him back and said, we are gone. But we have a friend in Santa Barbara who has a key. She will meet you there. And we gave him a list of valuable items that we could do without, but we did not want to do without. There was no way we could take everything that meant something to us. We had more or less decided that it was gone, and they would go on without it. He came over and took that stuff. He lived farther away from the fire, and he had the space to store it. He also took my car.
You told him to, right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. A few days later, it became mandatory. Everybody had to leave. They barricaded the end of Kokopa, which is our main street. Well, Paula Lane leads into Kokopa. Kokopa goes down to Foothill. So Foothill is a street that goes north past 154. No, it goes over to the valley. It goes over the mountains. And that was closed. So to get out of Santa Barbara, people who were leaving after that had to go up Foothill or to get on the freeway north. At that time, a big oil rig or something spilled, tipped over and spilled on the freeway.
Oh my God. Gosh.
And so people who were evacuating at that time had to go around it somehow. They hurried up and cleaned that up, and it had burned. It burned the road. And so they had to do repairs.
Good thing you left early.
Yeah, and we were very glad we left early. Okay. We were fortunate in that the fires south of us had been contained, many of them are at least under control, and a lot of the firemen were free to come and fight the Thomas Fire in Santa Barbara. After the mandatory evacuation, no one was allowed back into our neighborhood. After that, they had military up front patrolling the area because they didn't want people going into these homes and looting.
Looters.
Yeah. But and then they set a fire line up north of us. There's a little bridge that goes across the freeway. There was a lot of fire personnel up there.
Yeah.
The objective was to drive the fire up into the mountains and away from the residential areas. They also established helicopter pads at the junior high school at the bottom of our neighborhood.
La Colina.
La Colina Junior High School. Even now, I have fire retardant on my car, which I have to wash off as soon as the car washes are available. They're so crowded with people washing their cars.
It's like a chemical they use that's better than water for putting out fires.
Yeah, and it didn't drop it over our house, But the winds were so strong, that's what was fighting.
Blew everywhere.
Yeah, that's why they were fighting the flames.
The fire came pretty close to your area, right?
Yes.
How do you feel that so many beautiful hiking trails and landscapes were burned?
Less here, I think more towards Montecito. Some of our favorite trails, I felt like crying.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, Cold Springs, many of them. Fortunately, there was very little loss. Well, there was no loss of life to speak of.
Human life.
Human life. I don't know about the wildlife.
Most animals have pretty
good
instincts.
And not too many structures were destroyed. And I think that they learned from the fire in Santa Rosa. They had a good warning system, and they had a good response to the fire. We returned on the 27th. The air quality is much better. You could still feel it a little bit, but it's not like it was.
Were you afraid, knowing that you might never see your house again?
You reach a stage where you think it's gone or it's not gone. There are things that you will miss and will remember, but there was none of our family was here. No one that really mattered was gone.
Okay.
And you can start again.